Hailing from Beecher City, Illinois, which is a very small village near the big cities of Effingham and Shelbyville, Clady says, our family was a drag racing family, and few people know that my sister and I were in the first junior drag racing league, driving tiny dragsters my dad had made. She lives in Normal now with her husband John and their six kids. Please welcome Clady Fisher.
Hello. Now it's my turn to talk about my dad, and I'm really kind of excited because this is the only way anyone will get to know him because he has passed on. And I also kind of feel like I might give an Oscar speech because I could list all these, he was good at this and he was good at that, and you're going to play me off maybe possibly with all of my good things that I could say. He was just a maker, I guess is what they call it now, but he worked with his hands a lot, and so he had a lot of hobbies. But starting from the beginning, he was number six of seven children, and he grew up in rural Illinois, Beecher City, where he later returned to and built our family home. He was the son of a preacher. The children were spread far enough apart that a little interesting fact is once recently I went to the cemetery in my hometown where most of the Evans family is buried, and I happened to notice on my aunt's tombstone that her married date was exactly one day after my dad's birth date. And I was like, huh, well, that's interesting, you know. So I asked my older sister about that because I didn't really know that story. And she said, yeah, didn't you ever hear Dad say that he, you know, Grandma Clady, who I was named after, gave birth to Dad in the house. And then the very next day, the wedding took place in the same house. But she was, you know, no one went to visit in those days. You just didn't do that. But Dad always teased her saying, yeah, I showed up for Aunt Edith's wedding. I made an appearance, and it was kind of cute. And another cute story about him is that they kind of doted on him because he was towards the end, and he was the little baby boy of the family, little Ray. Ray Evans was his name. It was like a legendary story in my family that my Uncle Jim, who's the eldest boy, had finished his military service, so Grandpa went to pick him up and brought little Ray with him, and he was about three at the time. And Jim, who kind of like, you know, that distance of age, didn't know his little brother that well, so he whispers to Grandpa in the car, what kind of candy do you think he'd like? And my dad from the back seat yells, chocolate! So he obviously knew that word. It was really cute. So my dad was kind of, if anyone were to describe him, they probably would just say he was a quiet man because he was real soft-spoken. And he, well, like Kristen's father, he was deaf in one ear. And that came later in life because obviously he heard the whispering about the candy. I don't know when along the way, but he was in the Navy as a young man, and he learned his mechanical skills. He was an airplane mechanic, and then he farmed the land. He also later got a job at Caterpillar in Decatur, Illinois. But we still lived in Beecher City, so that was like an hour commute for him. But he had this lovely military sense of time, so everything was really by the clock because of that. He was really just good at making things. He woodworking. He would make doll furniture for my sister and me, and he built our family home in 78. I was a surprise baby. Our family is separated in a neat way. Mom and Dad got married in 1960. They had their boy and their girl. They thought they were done, but then in 78, I came along, and then they just, for the heck of it, I guess, so they didn't spoil me, they had another one right away a year later. And in that process, they decided to settle back into the homestead and raise us there, where Dad grew up. So he was a quiet guy, and he didn't say a whole lot, and he was rather shy as a child, so his personality was reserved, I guess you could say. But my mom, I wouldn't say the polar opposite, but she was like a spitfire, you could say. Her name was Minerva, and she refused to be called Minnie. She was 4'9". No one's going to call her Minnie. Her nickname was Nervy, and she was. That's how she introduced herself. I'm Nervy. That's my name. And so the two of them, I think, made a good combination, a good balance for us kids. You know, it was fun. But this story, which is the one I told Devin for this, might illustrate their personality differences. So my dad worked at Caterpillar in Decatur, and like I said, it was an hour away, so he had this routine, and he was a light sleeper. He worked second shift, so he would always take a nap in the afternoon, and he would wake up at 1:20 p.m., he would grab his lunch bucket, and he would be out the door by about 1:30. I think it took him about 10 minutes to get ready and go, and it was routine. And the lunch bucket, I have to describe, because he always called it his lunch bucket. I thought that was weird. And it was a molded, indestructible plastic, black, narrow, rectangular box with these straps, all one unit, all molded together. And the front had this eagle with its wings out, you know, and the head to the side. And I loved that eagle. I would always, like, do crayon rubbings over it. And then the straps go over this thermos, you know, with the handle so you can carry the whole thing. You've probably seen this workman's lunchbox. So he would bring that home at exactly 12:23 a.m., and I'm not kidding, because when I was a teenager, I could know how late I could stay up and run down the hall and be in bed before I saw his lights come up the driveway hill. So it was always the same time. He'd bring that home, put it on the back of the washing machine, and my mom would fill it up for the next day. And it just so happens that one day she was preparing this, and it must have been Christmas break or summer vacation or something, because my sister, who was 16, 17 at the time, was home for this in the middle of the day, so I know that that had to have happened. My mom was packing his lunch. She opens the lunch bucket, you know, gets the thermos out, and what does she find inside the lunch bucket but this pair of red lacy panties? And now that I think of it, she could have gone, like, just looking at this, she could have gone, like, one of two routes with her mind. She went with, who is she, you know? And so she starts in thinking and turning and churning, and he's still, like, napping, you know, and she's not going to disturb him. She's just going to let this burn. And she probably went through a pack of cigarettes, and I know she called my Aunt Judy, my dad's sister, which was her gossip partner at the time, and they were just running through the list of who it could be, and it probably occurred to them that maybe they don't even know who it could be, you know, and she was so steaming mad at him. And so he comes out, you know, beautifully barbasoled, shaved, fresh, ready to go, waiting for his lunch that hasn't been packed, and she's sitting there with these red panties looking at him. And he is so flustered because he's shy, he's quiet, he doesn't even talk. He gets, like, you know, I don't know, 100 words a day or something is his quota, I think. And he's like, ugh. So he sits down at the table with her, and he explains himself. He goes, listen, yesterday I was at work, and it was an ordinary day to begin with, but I started to notice people were just looking at me funny. And he's like, I just couldn't understand, and I went to the bathroom, I went to the mirror, there's nothing in my nose, but nothing in my teeth, I don't know what's going on. And he's like, I'm just walking around all day, and he's like, I started to get really scared, because he's like, you know, they're cutbacks, rumors are going around, why are they laughing at me, what's going on? He says, not till I sat down for lunch did I look down at my leg, and I saw these red panties stuck to me all day from static cling. And so he said, I just ripped them off and put them in my lunch bucket, and I forgot all about it until just now. And she's looking at him like, well, that's a lovely story. So he's just, you know, sitting there holding this underwear, trying to redeem himself, when my teenage older sister comes around the corner, and she goes, ew, why is Dad holding my underwear? Thank you.